Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. You knew I was going to do it, but I got to do it.
Churches can show the Super Bowl on big screen TVs this coming Sunday without fear of violating copyright laws.
Family Planning Services reduced cost. Contraception will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that.
No apologies, no.
We need you to feed the good wolf within you, to listen to the better angels of your nature, and by your example, encourage us to do the same. Mr. President, tag, you're it.
There are occasionally, and this happens very, very occasionally, that is, not all the time, not every century sees a mind, a theologian, a Christian thinker, the likes of which we're going to talk about here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, etc. St. John Chrysostom of Antioch. Of course, in his day, a man of great influence, but is his influence still felt today? The church remembers John Chrysostom, called Golden Mouth. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that he was some preacher on this day. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest for the first 10 minutes of the program. A little bit later in this hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us to talk about Nancy Pelosi, her thoughts on economic stimulus and family planning funds. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Tuesday, January the 27th. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. In the last half hour, we'll talk with Dr. Carl Fikincher, part two of our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching. We go straight to Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth and see what he's preaching there, coming up in about 25 minutes. Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He joins us to talk about St. John Chrysostom. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you today.
I mean, a lot of these giants, both intellectual, spiritual, are notable in history, but their influence wanes over time. Where do we see St. John Chrysostom's influence still in force today?
Well, his biggest legacy is no doubt the liturgy that he offered. To this day, most of the time, let's take a Lutheran example. If you go to the Lutheran Church in the Ukraine and participate in the liturgy that they celebrate there on Sunday morning, they employ almost all the time the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. They're praying the prayers that he wrote for the church, and these prayers just have a life of their own, which go on century after century as the faithful are nourished by them. Can I give some examples?
Sure.
Okay. For example, one of the beautiful prayers he has in his great Eucharistia, his great prayer of thanksgiving at the Lord's Supper, he says, you it was who brought us from non-existence into being, and when we had fallen away, you raised us up again, and you didn't cease to do all things until you brought us back up to heaven and gave us the kingdom which is to come. For all these things we give thanks to you, to your only begotten Son, and to the Holy Spirit. All things for which we know, all things we don't know, and for all the benefits you give to us, both manifest and unseen, we give you thanks. I mean, that's the kind of prayer that the man prayed. And so his prayers were an ongoing legacy, not just his sermons and the great work that he did there in proclaiming the word, but even into piety especially. And then our wonderful Treasury of Daily Prayer in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that we published, there is a stunning pre-communion prayer of St. John Chrysostom that just is, let me just share the words. you know, "No, O Lord my God, I am unworthy that you should enter beneath the roof of the temple of my soul, because it's all empty and dead. There's in me no worthy place where you may lay your head. But since from your loftiness you humbled yourself for our sake, please humble yourself now toward my humility, and as it seemed good to you to lie in the cavern and in the manger of dumb beasts, so also now graciously lie in the manger of my dumb soul, and enter into my defiled body, just as you did not refuse to enter into the house of Simon the leper and there to eat a meal with sinners, so also graciously enter into the house of my humble soul, which is leprous and sinful, just as you didn't feel loathing for the polluted lips of the sinful woman who kissed your feet. So do not loathe my even more defiled and polluted lips and unclean tongue. Amen." Isn't that just, I mean, stunning? Well, prayer like that?
It's amazing.
Good for the heart. Yeah.
You can see why he gains his nickname.
Oh, yeah. What a way with words. Yeah. And he has another heritage that I think is a real treasure that is often overlooked. And that is the treasure of his of the biblical interpretation and the way he taught, you know, us to hear and to read the scriptures. And I just like to share just a handful, very short little snippets of what he said. And you tell me who it sounds like. He wrote in his homilies on Galatians, "We don't need any of those legal observances. Faith suffices for us to obtain the Spirit, and by him, righteousness and many and great benefits." Or he says again, "This righteousness, it's from God. It's altogether a gift. The gifts of God far exceed those worthless good deeds which are due to our own diligence," his homily on Philippians 3. Or when he says, get this one. He says, here he shows God's power in that he not only saved us, he even justified us, and he led us to boasting in this without needing works, but looking for faith only. Sola fide. And that's not the only place that he uses that little declaration. He does it several times. Again, he says in his homily on Romans 3, he says, "What is the law of faith? That's being saved by grace." Here he shows God's power. He not only saved us, he's justified us and led them to boasting without needing works, looking for faith only. Again, he says the same thing. I mean, it's just one of these constant themes of his teaching. And he had the idea that you know, the justification was instantaneous, too. I mean, he was really clear on this. In his homily 7 on repentance, he says, "God doesn't wait for time to elapse after repentance. You state your sin. You are justified. You repent. You've been shown mercy." And Galatians 3, they said whoever adhered to faith alone was cursed, but Paul shows whoever adheres to faith alone is blessed. I mean, doesn't sound like Martin Luther talking there? Not by accident, because Martin Luther was a pretty astute student of John Chrysostom and frequently cribbed from Chrysostom's notes when he delivered his own lectures.
We don't know much about his life. I mean, not a ton about his life, but we do know that his life ended, at least in the eyes of the church that he served, in ignominy. Tell us a little bit about that with about a minute and a half.
Yeah, it was no bed of roses. He preached, and he preached hard and in a very luxurious capital against excessive luxury and about the need to care for the poor. And the empress finally got fed up with listening to his railings against her and her lavishness. And, you know, he was exiled. She was actually exiled twice, but the last time actually killed him. So he died in exile for preaching the word of Christ and not backing down, kind of like, you know, John the Baptist. He was slain. He was not physically martyred, but I mean, he suffered and died in exile because of his age and ill health, because of this preaching of the truth. And the most beautiful thing is, as he's dying, the words that come from his lips, "Glory to God for all things," and that just characterizes everything that you can see about his ministry from start to finish. And that's why he continues to be a blessing to us in the church. We continue to pray his prayers, read his works, and be blessed by his witness to Jesus Christ.
He serves before his exile as Patriarch of Constantinople. No small feat there. I mean, this is actually the center, if you will, the center of gravity of the church for a great part of its history. And how would you summarize his accomplishments as the patriarch there?
Well, the big thing that he did accomplish, I think, and he brought some real reformation to the church that really needed it, a church that was kind of corrupt when he came in, and he simply took the sword of the Word of God and, you know, forced the clergy to do what they were called to do, preach and teach and administer the sacraments and care, and called the church itself to care for the poor. His reform of the church to be an agency of mercy was characteristic of his time there in Constantinople. And again, one of the things that got people really upset, he was giving away the riches of the church in order to really help those who were poor and in need. And it was just a hallmark of his ministry, a ministry of mercy.
You mentioned before that his final words are reported to be, "Glory be to God for all things. Amen." How, Pastor Whedon, keeping with the teaching of this a great mind in Christian history, St. John of Constantinople or St. John Chrysostom, how is God given glory in all things and for all things?
He gives glory to God for all things when we recognize that all things come to us from the hand of the God who loved us all the way to the cross and empty tomb, and who has prepared for us in his Son a kingdom which will never end. Then you can receive even the sufferings, even the hardships of your lives as gifts that God is giving you to bless you on your way home.
Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. You can read something Pastor Whedon has written about St. John Chrysostom under the on-demand page at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Will, thanks again.
Thank you. It's a blessing to be with you today.
When we come back from this break, Jennifer Morris, Roback Morris, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking with her about Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, very recently, Sunday, I believe, on George Stephanopoulos' television program. She said that hundreds of millions of dollars in family planning funds that are part of the economic stimulus should be there because family planning, and she mentioned contraception specifically, she says it saves money. It's part of the stimulus. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris has to say about that. Then we continue our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll go to Jesus' sermon at the synagogue in Nazareth. Stay tuned.
An easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Could Planned Parenthood's financial prosperity backfire?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
While Planned Parenthood is busy polishing its image, some are asking why the abortion business still receives public funds. In its most recent financial report, the nation's largest abortion provider showed a record $1 billion in annual revenue, a third of which comes from taxpayer money. This prompted Jim Sedlak of the American Life League to ask the obvious question, why are we giving them so much money? As they reach out to more and more affluent customers, that will bolster our argument that we shouldn't be giving them any government funds.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.